Achremos Kedoshim, Tavshinayin Ches. Okay, let's take a look over here. He says, Vaydabar Shem Moshe Leimor. Perkut Ches Pasuk Alf. Vaydabar Shem Moshe Leimor. Dabel B'nei Yisrael, Vamarta Aleim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Ba, Lo Sasu, V'chemase Eretz Kenan, Asher Ani Mivi Eschem Shama, Lo Sasu, V'chuchusehem Lo Seleichu. So let's just literally translate it. Hashem said to Moshe, lay more. And then it says another pasuk, Daber B'nei Yisrael. This pasuk already is like, wait. It should have just said, Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe, lay more. Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishav Timbal, lo tasu. Go from pasuk Al to pasuk Gimel. What do you need the pasuk Beis for? I got it there also.
I don't think it's that unusual.
You don't think it's so unusual?
Yeah. You take part in the Chodesh, for
example. Right. Okay. True.
I think even Parshas Tzitzis is like that, if I remember right.
Right. It is. But then also, it's pretty cool. Why is it over there? I mean, I'm not saying it's the only place it ever appears.
Right. No, but I what I'm saying is I think it's fairly common.
Okay, so the Chora needs it to Hezber every place. Why do we need more than Vidavar Shem Moshe anymore? And there's obviously there's something in the second pasuk,
right?
That's necessary, right?
What is he saying it twice?
Right. No. In other words, it says Vidavar Shem Moshe anymore, and then it says Dabrel Bnei Yisrael Vamarta Alehem. Okay, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So this becomes pasuk Beis becomes a preamble to pasuk Gimel. Which is what Kimasi Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo Lo Sasu Kimasi Eretz Kenan Asher Nimiviyeskem Shabbat Lo Sasu Bechukosem Lo Sileichu. In other words, like the deeds of the people of the land of Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo, where you dwelled, don't do those deeds. Right, we're talking here Bepashtus. We're talking about Gilui Arayos, living a licentious lifestyle. Right, Uchamasi Eretz Kenan, so too Eretz Kenan. Asher ani miveyeschem shama, that I'm bringing you there. Don't do like their deeds. V'chukasem lo silecho, in their customs, their societal, their social habits. So don't conduct yourself according to them. V'chukasem lo silecho.
I'm going their ways.
Right. So let's take a look. So. Right. Then it says it's mishpatai tasu. Veschukotai tishmeru, my mishpatim you should do. Veschukosai tishmeru, and my chukim, right? Tishmeru, you should guard them. Leleches behem, to walk in them. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right? I am Hashem, the one who guides you, is mashgiach upon you. Ushmartem eschukosai, you should guard my chukim. Vesmishpatai. So here we have it. In the reverse order. In Pasuk Dalet, it said Mishpatim first and then Chukim afterwards. In Pasuk He, it has Chukim first and Mishpatim afterwards. Asher Yaseh Osama Adam V'chai Bahem Ani Hashem. Right? Do them, live by them, Ani Hashem. Okay. So Rashi. Rashi says.
Wait, so the first problem you see that's duplicated and redundant?
Yeah, and there's what we call it. David points out that you find it quite often. I'm asking him. This question is every time, why do we need such a pasuk? We already got the deep, we got the lame war, and that says Dabar Ben Yisrael V'amarta Lame. Isn't that really the upshot of Dabar Hashem Moshe Lame War? Now, there's something added in the pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So maybe that's why the pasuk second buzz is not redundant, because there's some additional piece of information in there that needs to be said as a prologue to what we're going to say in pasuk Gimel. But we have to see. So Rashi says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani ushamarti b'Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, V'kibaltem aleichem malchusi. Right? Right, you see that Rashi there in Perek Ches Pasuk Beis. Ani Hashem Elokecha, I'm the one who said to you at Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoceicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, right, etc. V'kibaltem aleichem malchusi, and you accepted upon yourself my malchus, and there's the relationship of malchus, right, the relationship between the king and his people. Ma'ata kiblu gzerosai, and now be mekabel my gzeros, now accept my degrees. So this is a funny thing, really, because you think about it, this is not the first time This is not the first set of mitzvahs we've had since Sinai. All of a sudden now we need to go refresh ourselves. And we go, okay, right? You were recovering my malchus at Sinai? Now accept my gzeros. I mean, I think we got the point already, right? We're holding in Parshas Achrimos. We've passed half of the Torah already. Rabbi Yom Regalu Yadua Lefonav Shesofa Lenatek Barayas Bimei Ezra Lefichach Bo Aleim Begzeira Ani Hashem Lokechem Du'u Mi Gozer Aleichem Dainli Par of Neman L'Shalim Schar. It's the second answer in Rashi. He says, you know why I went over this? Because he knew that there was going to be a stage in the history of the Jewish people in the time of Ezra when they were going to be very licentious in their behavior, marrying Goyish women, etc., etc.
The time of Ezra?
The time of Ezra, yeah.
That's when...
When they came back from Bavel. Right, he came back and they were all married to Goyas. Not everybody, but a lot of people were married to Goyas. Yeah?
So who's saying this passage?
So I'm saying that's why it needs to repeat this over here. In other words, they're dealing with the question of all of a sudden Hashem decides to tell them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Oh, Boker Tov, we know that. And Rashi says in the first parish that you accepted my Malchus at Sinai, just like I said, Ani Hashem Elokeich, Hashem Tzeisich HaMiyam Tzitzrayim. And now I'm telling you, accept my Gzeros. So we were asking the question, what do you mean accept Xeros? So we go, of course, we've had a lot of Torah since then, since Sinai. We've had, you know, but we've had Parshas, what do you call it? Parshas, you know, Mishpatim. We've had Parshas, what do you call it? Parshas, you know, Truma, Tetzave, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekude, Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, Tazria, Mitzora. Okay, no, we got the point already. All of a sudden now to tell me again?
The Xeros are Rabbanim?
The Xeros are my edicts. Right over here, referring to what he called. We're going to talk here about not conducting yourself in a licentious fashion. Don't conduct yourself like the goyim that you saw in Mitzrayim and that you're going to see when you come to Eretz Israel. Don't even conduct yourself according to their social mores, etc. Their etc. Don't do that. So, but why do we have to say it again? We've had so many parshas since then. So the last second shot in Rashi.
Is being more specific? Is this a case of generalization?
Well, I don't know. The second shot in Rashi says that we need to reemphasize it over here because Hashem knows that there's going to be a point in history where this is going to be a big issue. When the Jews come back, you know, after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, when the process of going to rebuild the second base of Mikdash, Ezra's going to come here. He's going to find in Eretz Yisrael that a lot of them are married to Goyas, right? They're not living a holy lifestyle. They're not living a holy lifestyle. Etc. So he's going to need, as it were, to fix that. So specifically with regard to this mitzvah, right? Specifically with regard to this mitzvah, the Torah comes and emphasizes. Remember that I am the Ani Hashem Lokechem. I repay reward for those who follow my Torah, and I will extract retribution, punishment. I'll clean you up. Yeah, for those who don't follow my ways. But the first Trat and Rashi is just linking it back to Kabbalah Satorah. And the question is, you know, why do it? In the second Trat, we know that there's something unique about what's being spoken about over here, why you need to emphasize it. The first Trat just says it links it back to going back to the Sinai, right? At Sinai, what do you call it? I told you, Anochei Hashem Elokecha, and now all of a sudden, I tell you, Nabi Mekabel Mike Zeros, and I'm asking, why did you tell it to me over here now? Again, we've gone through a million Parshias since then, not a million, okay, but we've got a lot of Parshias. They're all filled with dinim, but shmini, right? But it's not. There are not enough mitzvahs there about what's kosher, what's not kosher. Yeah, what do you call it? Tazria, mitzora. I mean, what's the story? So Rashi says.
Rashi says concerning what? Why is it repeated now after so many parshas?
No, right. That's my question. Uh-huh. That's my question. Rashi, I'm just saying that in his second parish, he answers my question. Because he says that we call there's something specific about the issue of licentious lifestyle, because we knew there was going to be a point in Jewish history where there's going to be a big issue.
Who says that?
That's Rashi says in the second parish, right? That when then Ezra comes back, and the truth is it's after today also, except that those people, right, the people now who are involved in licentious lifestyles are not necessarily listening to the Torah. At least in the time of Ezra, they want to listen to the Torah. The problem is that they were living an inappropriate lifestyle. But they were listening to the Torah. They listened to Ezra. So the accentuation of telling them, you know, guess what? I'm the one who gives reward, and guess what? I'm the one who gives punishment, is reiterated over here because this is going to be a big issue in Jewish history. That's the second thing Rashi says. So that answers my question. But the first parish of Rashi just is linking it back to, I introduced myself to you at Sinai, and you accepted my malchus then, you accepted my dominion then, my kingship then, now accept my edicts. That to me seems strange. Why say it here? Why say it here? We've had so many edicts up until now. Why repeat it over here all of a sudden?
And then he gets more specific about the licentious.
Right. No, I'm saying, well, that's what's going to be taught. That's what the Maaseiros Mitzrayim, the lifestyle of Mitzrayim, the lifestyle of Canaan, etc. That talks about licentious living.
Okay. I need a background then on Achrimos.
Yeah.
Achrimos tells us about
after the death of what he called the death of the two sons of Aaron. That's right. The beginning of the Parsha. Again, the Parsha has got a lot of things in it. This happens to be the right? We know Achrimos and Kedoshim are the combination where they talk about the Parshas of Arayas. One time they warn you, right? There's Azharas telling you, you record, you shouldn't be doing this, right? This is us the thing to do. And then the next one tells you what you call the punishment that will take place. And Achrimos and Kedoshim, those two Parshas complement one another in the area of Arayas.
Uh-huh. What does it have to do with the death?
It doesn't. I mean, it maybe it could does that, but it's, you know, much more far afield. I mean, there's a lot of different ideas in the Parsha. Okay?
And the main idea is licentious.
This is what he called, and this in this parak, that's what the topic is.
This parak.
I'm not saying that the whole Parsha is talking about that. That's right. Right. Yud Ches, what do you call it? Psukim Al through Hey, and then subsequently go through all the Arias.
And your question is, why is it repeated so many times?
My question is, why tell me?
Why is it repeated?
Why tell me this now, idea of Hashem saying, Anochi Hashem Lokechem, you accepted my kingship at Sinai, right? Now accept my edicts. Why does it have to be said over here? I mean, that's there are plenty of mitzvahs that came before. There were also edicts.
Just, you know, suggests a Baal Bantasha answer that, you know, since this is the area which is difficult, so you need extra chizuk.
Okay, so Beseder. So I'm going to say basically like David's saying, but we're going to say it a little bit differently.
And you could say, you're saying that since it's such an important union, why are they waiting?
No, I didn't say that. You said that. You said that. I'm just saying that this idea of you accepted my dominion at Sinai, now accept my edicts. So, well, why mention that over here? I mean, you didn't mention it every time we went through, let's say, the parsha of the mitzvos in Shemini, talking about, you know, about eating what foods are kosher, which ones are not kosher, right? All the dinim of Metzora. Right? In Tazria Mitzora. It didn't say, oh, I spoke to you, it seemed you accepted my dominion, accept my edicts. Right? So David's suggesting, he called it a Baal Batish answer, but it's a very good answer. That what? That because there's something about him here that makes it difficult.
Yeah, more,
okay. Right? I'm only going to elaborate sensuous on what he's saying. Okay?
Oh, David?
Yeah.
He could have said it himself.
Okay.
Your elbows on the table.
Okay. Can we?
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, I understand. Let's try and be serious here. Right. So Rashi tells us then in Rashi and Pasuk Gimel there, he tells us that the deeds of Mitzrayim were very makulkal, they were very messed up, and the deeds of the people who lived in Canaan, they were very messed up, right? And then at the end he says, don't even follow their social mores, etc. Look at that Rashi over there. This Rashi here. So Rashi says, "Mahi niach hakosuv shelo amar." What we already talked about. Don't follow the ways of Mitzrayim. Don't follow the ways of Canaan. Right? So he says, "Mahi niach hakosuv shelo amar." Ela elu nimusos shelahem, right? These were their, you know, this was their social customs, right? Not necessarily, you know, debauchery per se. We're not talking about,
sensuous.
Right, we're not talking about
immorality.
Right, we're not talking about
that was social. That made it permissible.
No. We're not talking about promiscuity right now in this last part. V'chukosayim lo seilechu. Ela elu nimusos shelahem, dvar machakukim lehem, kagon tartios, veitstadios. right? They're gathering together in the theaters, right? Social entertainment. Gathering together in the theaters, gathering together in the stadiums, right? Right? The Romans, etc. What do you call it? Any people. This was their entertainment. Don't follow their modes of entertainment. Don't follow their modes of entertainment. Or these types of modes of entertainment, whatever.
It's an interesting thing that nowadays, in the world generally, the entertainment industry is a tremendous industry.
Tremendous.
Don't see that by the Jews, that entertainment is a big thing. It's part of the Jewish literature. So recent times you have some things, but the ancient Greeks, they had their theaters. You don't see the Jews having theaters those times.
I mean, I just actually recently saw something that's being a revival of Jewish theater.
Huh.
I mean, in
Yiddish.
Yeah, the Yiddish theater. I mean, what's her name? Sarah Bernheim was in America, but what's her name? I can't remember her name. She's buried in the Warsaw Cemetery. Jewish theater was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish theater was a big thing also in terms of the reformation of Jewish society in Europe. You know, when the Jews started to lose it, right? They started to lose it. They lose their attachment. So along with philosophical ideas, all the different isms, budding up, there was also a lot of Jewish theater.
You're thinking that this is making him muter to follow the ways we're going to accept, make their own, have our own themes?
No, because I think that's just mimicking them.
Huh.
Now, what do you call it? Like you said, the entertainment industry. Now the only thing is you don't have to go to a movie house anymore. You've got an iPhone, right? And you go to a recorder, you've got your iPad, or you got whatever it is, and you can download whatever you want. And you can be in there. It's true. It's not in a social context. It's not a social context, but the fact is that the world b'chlal is what you call it is so completely connected to each other and yet totally disconnected from one another. No one knows how to communicate anymore, right? Everybody, they got this one line, Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you say, oh, I burped, right? And everybody says, oh, wow, that's special. That must have been really terrible taste in your mouth. Wow, I got 50,000 people who answered me. I got 50,000 friends, et cetera. And you've got no friends at all because you can't even talk to them. You see people sit down at a table. It's so common. You see people sit down at a table. I mean, it's not our society. But this is the society within the global sense. Three people sit down at a table, everybody picks up their phone, and nobody looks at each other. No one talks. No one hasn't talked to each other. They're always looking at their phone. It's scary. But okay, fine. That's a separate or not separate issue, but let's not get lost in it. Okay. Right?
Rashi, Pasuk, Dalet.
Okay, so Rashi, what do you call Rashi and Pasuk? Esh mishpatai ta'asu. Right, elu dvarim ha'amurim b'to.
So, I'm sorry, but what? Just summarize. What did Rashi say in Pasuk Dalet?
Pasuk
Gimel.
In Pasuk Gimel, we just don't follow the ways of the what do you call it? They were dissolute, right? The immoral ways in Mitzrayim,
okay,
in Canaan, and then it says not only does the absolute immorality don't conduct yourself in that such a fashion, but also even the social mores, gathering together in the theaters. It was like part of it was the culture. It was the culture. Gathered together in the theaters, gathered together in the stadiums, watching the bullfights, the gladiators, what do you call it, the rams. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, fine. Fine. Then Rashi says, Esmishvat Taita Su, Elu Dvorim Ha'amurim B'Torah, B'Mishvat, She'ilu Nemra, Ayu Kedai La'omram. So Mishvat Taita Su, Mishvatim, Rashi says, are those mitzvos that were they even not written per se in the Torah, but man would need to come up with something, right, to what it called to be similar to that. In other words, to establish social order, law and order, mishpatim, Right? It was kedai. In other words, even if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't tell you a set of mishpatim, but man would have to come up with an order to maintain a social order. Ves chukosai tishmoru, right? Chukosai tishmoru. Tishmoru, I'm sorry. Chukosai tishmoru. The next Rashi there in Dalet.
Hey.
Dalet. Es chukosai tishmoru. Dvarim shehem gzeras hamelech. Right, the sort of dvarim that are a gzera from the melech. And there's an edict. You know, why? Like the people are always saying, why are you keeping not eating chazir? Why are you? What do you go? Don't wear shatnez. You know. So Hashem says those are the chukim. There's mishpatim. Mishpatim are the dinim that may maintain social order, right? That we would know. That we would understand. In other words, even if. There are sort of things, let's put it this way, you may not necessarily even social order, maybe even more concepts there, but the sort of things that even if the Torah didn't tell you you should do it, you would understand that you should do it, that you should have these types of mitzvos. Okay? To keep it of an aim. Right? Either it's, I mean, told social order, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, etc. Or even other things. But it's the sort of thing that even if the Torah hadn't written it, we would have to come up with something on our own. And chukim are the sort of things like don't eat chazer. I would never come up with the world, you know, with don't eat chazer. Don't wear shatnez. These are the sort of things. These are the gzeros of Hashem. Okay? Regarding the mishpatim, it says do them. Right? Make sure you do them. And with regard to the chukim, it says tishmeru. Right? Shmira. What does shmira mean? Shmira means, this is the Gur Aryeh, and it's obvious in other places also, shmira is mishnah. Learning about it. So the first pasuk Dalet tells us make sure you do the mishpatim, and pasuk Hey says make sure you learn the chukim. Okay. Then in pasuk Hey, right pasuk Hey, it says the reverse. It says there, but in pasuk Dalet it said mishpatim first. And then chukim afterwards, right? And here in Pasuk Hey, it has the chukim first and the mishpatim afterwards. And Rashi says in his second perush in Pasuk Hey, right, to make sure that you do the both dinim, shmira and asiya, learning about it and doing it, are applicable to both mishpatim and to chukim.
It's not answering the question why they're reversed.
No, he's saying by reversing it, so then you have the verb, shmira. In other words, in Pasuk Dalet, right, it's mishpatai ta'asu. So siya is associated with mishpatim. And chukasai tishmru, shmira is associated with chukim. In Pasuk Hey, the shmira, right? The shmira
is... chukim?
What, I'm sorry?
Shmira is associated with chukim?
Well, in Pasuk Dalet... In Pasuk Dalet, the Shmir is associated with Chukim. Just look at the Pasuk. Es Mishpatai Ta'asu, Asiya, doing is associated with Mishpatim. Those things you would logical according to our standards, mitzvos. And Shmira, learning about it, is associated with Chukim. In Pasuk Hey, so we've got Shmira, Es Chukosai, Es Mishpatai. If you shmira, the verb comes first, and it's going both on chukim and on mishpatim. Asher ya'aseh osam, that you shall do them all, right? Refers back, but tells you there's a siya by both chukim and mishpatim. Okay? So what do we have over here?
We have shmira and asiya, or do we have asiya and shmira?
Right, we got all of these. So let's look at the psukim all together now. It says first it starts off with this preamble. Let's go back over the psukim again.
Aleph.
Yeah, but it's called really the base, right? Yes. We've got the preamble to the parsha of Rashi says referring to Arayos, right? We've got the preamble to it saying, "Remember that I am the one." Who spoke to you at Sinai and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Right? And therefore accept my edicts.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next pasuk says, what are these edicts? The edicts are, doing like the deeds of Mitzrayim and Canaan, and those are the licentious lifestyle. Okay?
Miracle.
Okay, let's not get too nasty now. We caught. And then in Pasuk Dalet, all of a sudden, we've got the general concept of both Shmira and Asiya, right? Learning about and doing with regard to Mishpatim and Chukim. Right? That's Pasuk Dalet and Hey. And then it ends off V'chai Behem, Ani Hashem. V'chai Behem. And you shall live by them. I am Hashem. Right? So again, we've got the prologue of Kabbalah Satorah with regard to these edicts. Which edicts? The edicts of not living a licentious lifestyle. Then we talk about Shmira and Asiya with regard to both types of mitzvahs, both Mishpatim, which were logical according to our standards, and Chukim, which we don't understand the logic necessarily according to our standards. And the last thing is what he called is V'chai Behem, you shall live by them.
Yeah, that sounds redundant within itself.
Why?
Because, except the edicts, don't be like Canaan and Mitzrayim.
Right.
Do them, watch them and do them, and live by them. What the hell is he talking about?
Well, so what's the live by them? What does V'chai Behem mean?
What do you live? Okay.
Okay, fine. What does V'chai Behem mean? So the first thing is, right, let's just see here. First thing is, remember when, on Pesach, right, the Leil Seder, we were talking about the idea
of... You turn the page?
Yeah, no, I'm still on the same page. I'm synopsizing.
Oh.
Right, really cool. I have a problem with my nose.
Get you a t-shirt.
Right, remember we talked about Leil HaSeder. We talked about the Smak. Remember, the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvot Katan, who says that the question they ask us when we get to Shemayim at 120, they ask us with Tzipisili Yeshua. Did you yearn for, look forward to the Yeshua coming, the Geula coming, right? And he asked, "What's the source for that?" That's such a fundamental thing. It's such a fundamental thing that's the question. One of the questions they ask you when you get upstairs. Not only that, but Lamais, if you're not Betzapa, the Rambam says if a person is not Betzapa Yeshua, he's a kofir. He's a heretic? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So the Smak says, because it's a branch of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, of the mitzvah of Emuna, that Hashem revealed himself to us, right? In Yetzias Mitzrayim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shor Tzisicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim, the level, the way, the degree of connection that he forged with us, through Yitzhiwa, that we saw Mitzrayim, that's the level of connection that he wants us to have with him always in this mitzvah of Emuna. And as we always, in our belief in him, is not just some sort of abstract disembodied intellect, sort of, you know, oh, I believe there's a creator. But it's a dynamic, energy-filled relationship that you feel, and just like you saw in Mitzrayim, he's there for me. He's there for me. So that has to come back again. The Geula has to come back again so we can rebuild that connection on that level. So, and that is the level that Hashem wants us to have with him, the level of emunah, right? Yeah. Of complete recognition and dependence upon him and recognizing that he's there for us.
I know, but I thought that relationship was built on regular, ordinary day events, not on miraculous things that happen.
Right, that like the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo, famous Ramban, that entire sound and light show called Yetzias Mitzrayim was there to cause us to recognize that everything in our humdrum mundane lives afterwards is all from Hashem, and there's no serendipity, you know whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It all is. There's no caprice. It is all coming because Hashem's hashgaf upon us.
That's Ramban.
Right, the Ramban. So, but that's true. That's what we're supposed to do with it. But we need to have our batteries recharged, right? We need to have our batteries recharged when the Geula will come, right? After we've struggled to maintain that level of connection through all of the events, the dark events, the difficult events, or the humdrum events of life, throughout our times and throughout our history. Now, bang! Then what's going to come back is going to come back again. And now that you've struggled to maintain that connection, so once again, I'm going to give you a hug. I'll give you another hug like I gave you in what he called in Mitzrayim. Okay? So now.
When do we get that hug?
After when the Gula. When the Gula comes. That's what CP's going to say. I have to look forward to him because that's the level of connection you want to have. Because that's what Hashem wants us to have with him.
Okay.
So therefore, now going back to what David said before.
So don't give me any more hugs anymore.
Okay. So what do you call it? Right. So I remember.
Maybe you can be Yad of Hashem.
Right. I remember when I would call when I was in high school, right? Yeah. Shortly after Lincoln was assassinated. No, I'm kidding.
What you can tell that to the girls.
Yeah, I do. And then they don't laugh, and I say, laugh.
Do they know who Lincoln is?
What? No. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but maybe they think I'm that old. But what do you call it? So in any event, I remember coming back from what do you call it from the airport, and there always was a big billboard right over either the Van Wyck or the Grand Central. I can't remember. Alive with pleasure. This is going back to what David said before. Alive with pleasure. And of course, what do you call we have? What do you call scantily clad people? What do you call it? Cavorting there, right, and smoking cigarettes. And of course, they've got the Surgeon General warning in the corner thing: smoking is going to kill you. But what do you call it? But you're alive with pleasure. Meanwhile, whatever. So a person can feel that that's the only way to feel alive. That's the only way to feel alive is if you record, if you feel your constant new experiences, new pleasures, right? We call it take off this one, try that one, do the next one. That's making this person alive, alive with pleasure. So comes the right, and a person can feel if the Torah is going to impinge upon this. I'm going to dry up. I'm going to turn into a desiccated pea. Right? That's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to turn into like a frog that, you know, that fell out of the pond, you know, and he's now in Death Valley. Right? And he turns into a prune. Right?
If you don't what?
If you don't have that alive with pleasure. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says...
You have to define what your pleasures are.
Stay calm, relax. I know you're being religious. But what do you call it? But a person could think that if I don't have this as part of my life, what do you call it? That's it. You know, I'm gonna die of nerditis. I'm gonna turn into, you know, into an old sourpuss, you know, crabby human prune. Right? Everybody's got their problem. Okay. Stay calm, relax. Okay. That was said by our local statistician. Okay, fine. So now, comes the Torah and says, first of all, I introduce myself to you, the mitzvah of Emunah Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehoteisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's why I introduced myself to you. And that's the sort of relation to have with you. And you should know, you can't build that type of relationship with me if you're going to build it on a foundation of searching for life through alive with pleasure. Right, through alive with pleasure. It ain't gonna work. It's not like you can't be Jekyll and Hyde, you can't be Eve White and Eve Black. You can't build it on a foundation, right? It's not gonna work. It doesn't happen. And on the contrary, what does the Pasuk tell you? Avoid that. Avoid the acts of Mitzrayim. Avoid the acts of Canaan. Don't feel like you have to participate in all their social mores, right, and et cetera, the forms of entertainment, et cetera. Okay. What should you do? Shmira and Asiya in your chukim and in the mishpatim, in the things you understand and things you don't understand.
Shmira and chukim and mishpatim.
The chukim are the ones that
the whole entire Torah?
At least in this context, okay? Naniach, okay? Let's say that, right? Because we're talking about the logic involved, right? It's true, you could talk about different types of mitzvahs, but there are those things where the logic is immediately apparent to you, and those things where the logic is not apparent to you. He says you need a shmira and a siya in both of them. You need to do them, and you need to learn about them. And then what's the last thing? And then you'll be alive. Then you'll be alive. In other words, you can't build Torah on a system of being alive like it said on the billboard. Right? because it doesn't. But if you build, if you follow the path of the Torah, don't connect yourself to that lifestyle. Don't connect yourself to that lifestyle. And on the contrary, you engage in shmira and asiya in the world of mishpatim and chukim. You'll be alive. V'chai b'hem. You'll live that way. But through them you will live. And you won't be missing the verve of life. You won't be missing the excitement of life. You'll have life. You have life. Take a look at the bottom of Sfasemes. The bottom of Sfasemes. This is from, not from here, it's from Parshas Chukas. Right? There he says, Rashi. See that? Right? It's from Parshas Chukas. Rashi. The fi sha satan v'umus olim monim es Yisrael. The very bottom of Sfasemes. The satan and the nations of the world, they're like mock us. They call us out right here. Right? They mock us. And they say, "Ma tam, what's the reason?" Here it's talking about paraduma because it's in Parshas Chukas. Right? Kosuba chuka. V'kosha, says the Sfasemes. Ibe emes ein batam.
Is what he's asking a question?
He's asking a question. Ibe emes ein batam. If there really is no tam, if there is no really there a tam,
right?
Right? No, to let's say to chuka, let's say to paraduma, let's say as an example. In tzorach lahai tam demonim. As Israel, Rakafisha ain't tam, cause of chukah. It is the Medrash is coming to explain. Rashi is coming to explain why is the word chukah written by, let's say, Paraduma or the lots of other chukim. Shatnez chukah, like we talked about here, chukos sai tishmeru.
Because you don't have a tam.
So if there's no tam, if there is no tam, in other words, we can't understand the tam. So then, why do you have to say? Why does Rashi have to say? Well, because the nations of the world, yeah, they mock us and they say. It's called chukah because it's chukah, because you don't know the tam. You don't have to come on. You don't have to come on to, you know, to the fact that they try and annoy us. They try and mock us, make fun of us. We ourselves don't know the tam. That's it. It's chukah. It's an edict that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established. That's it. Finished. Period. Elanira sheish batam. Must be there is a tam. Ach I afshar lahasig atam. Ar achar tikun aguf. It's a tam, but it's not a tam that's achievable to us until we perfect ourselves, perfect our goof. Umitzad mitzad bechinas hachitzolius ein tam l'chukas Hashem. If you want to look at things superficially, so you can't find a tam to it. You can only find a tam if you have, as it were, you've left the world of the superficial. Avol hamam means sofa lahavin atam. But a person who believes in the end, he will, as it were, experience. He'll understand the tam, the reason. In other words, the what Rashi is explaining over here, the nations of the world make fun of us, is because on a superficial level, it looks like it doesn't make any sense. It's not that there is no explanation to it. There is an explanation to it. But you have to leave the world of superficiality in order to be able to explain it, in order to be able to understand it, in order to be able to taste it, in order to be able to feel it. So that's why he brings in the idea of what the nations of the world. It's not because intrinsically it has no tam. It has a tam. But you can't experience that tam from within the system that they're talking. Divrei olam sha'tam lamaisa. The whole nature, the whole experience, right? The whole experience of Olam Hazeh, alive with pleasure, is the tam, the taste, the experience, yeah, is what draws you to do the act. And then you do the act. And you do the act, and you do the act, and you do the act, and after a while, what do I have? I have nothing. I have nothing. I have a collection of, what do you call it, of brief experiences, of memories, but no transformation of myself, no growth, no nothing that makes me feel alive eternally.
Like eating a good meal.
It's here and it's gone. It's here and it's gone.
So, go back to the beginning.
Just finish the sentence. The Torah lehipuch, but Torah is the exact opposite. Idea maisa, right? Through the involvement in the action, through doing it, through living it. Even though you don't have a desire for it.
What
is he? In the world of superficiality, the tam, the taste, the experience, the sensual pleasure is what causes the person to do the act.
Right.
Whatever physical act it happens to be, whatever pleasurable physical act it happens to be. And then he does the act. He doesn't feel any more alive after he's done it. Right? It just is gone. Right, it was. It's a memory, but it's not like he's now intrinsically more alive. He doesn't feel that. In Torah, you do the act, you do the mitzvahs, you learn the mitzvahs, and then you experience the tam, and that gives you the desire, right? For that, what do you call it, for that mitzvah? And it constantly is feeding itself. It's feeding itself. It's feeding itself. The more you do it, the more you taste it. Right, rather than the more you taste it, the more you want to do it. It's the opposite of the world. So that's what the Torah says. Right, that's what the Torah says. Torah says that if you do the mitzvahs, if you learn the mitzvahs, right, then you'll be alive. Then you've a chai behem. It's a different type of life. It's a different type of life. Yeah.
So the beginning of the set, you said it's a chukuk without a tom. It's a tom, but it's not achievable. What does that mean?
In other words, if it's not achievable from within the outlook,
said that.
Right? Within the outlook of the nations of the world,
uh-huh.
In the world of superficiality, where you can't, uh-huh. Because they're in the world. The tom is that immediate. I gotta taste it right now. And so once I taste it, it's when you look at the billboard, the billboard says alive with pleasure, right? So, I taste it. And therefore, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. And then what? And it's gone. And it's gone. So, I want to taste it. I'll taste it. And I do it. And then it's gone. And so on and so forth. A person lives an entire life of an oscilloscope of high crests and deep troughs afterwards. Because he's got absolutely nothing afterwards. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. He just goes from one crest to the next. And as the person gets older, so then the wavelengths become wider, because what do you call it? Because you can't keep the crests as close together as you used to in your youth. So then in your youth, you were living in illusion, right? You thought you were always on a high. But the truth is you weren't really high. You were on a crest and then a trough, and then a crest and a trough, and a crest and a trough. As the person gets older, he realizes, hey, guess what? What do you call it? The crests are farther and farther apart, right? And the troughs are wider, etc., deeper, etc. Then you realize what you really knew all along, but you didn't want to confront it. Because I have nothing.
Yeah, well, why does it have to be so hard? Why do some people have it even harder?
We'll ask. I don't know. We'll ask Don Quixote.
The Magen says in a few places that when you do the mitzvahs, afterwards the Thomas and the Gauntlet.
Right. So it's the same thing as this. That's what Sfas HaMishnah is saying.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the exact reverse. It's the doing reveals the tam. Right? And the tam, what is the tam? The tam is an eternal tam. Right? It is, through the tam is, I am connected to the source of all sources. I'm connected to the Borei Olam. I'm connected to eternity. I'm connected to eternity. So I know I have something. Literally, what does it mean, v'chai b'hem? So Rashi says, v'chai b'hem, l'olam haba. You live where? You live eternally in olam haba. It doesn't mean v'chai b'on olam hazeh. Why? It says Rashi so succinctly. V'chai b'hem, l'olam haba, shim tomer b'olam hazeh. Hello, sofu umeis. He says, how can you say v'chai b'hem, you'll live by it? It's referring to olam hazeh. In the end, you die. So it can be v'chai b'hem, and you'll live, but you won't live, you'll die, right? But olam haba, you'll live, and that's eternal. That's what Rashi says. Ramban mentions several what he called different Perushim, right? Right, V'chayv, but he quotes Rashi and he brings another parish, etc. But then he says a very interesting thing on the second line of the Ramban. V'da, right? Ki chay yodam mitzos kefi achanos lehem. A person's life in mitzvos. V'da. Ki chay yodam b'mitzvos kefi achanos lehem. The way that you prepare yourself, the way you approach, mitzvos, determines the level of life you'll experience from them. It's a very interesting thing. Ke'osa mitzvos shelo l'shman amanas l'kabel pras. If a person does mitzvah so he can get a reward. Yichye behen ba'olam hazeh yamim rabim ba'osher v'nechosim mekavod. He'll get what he called. He'll live in this world, right, with honor, with wealth, right, possessions. Valzeh ne'emar b'smola osher v'chavod. In other words, if my relationship with doing the mitzvahs is because I want a reward from Hashem, so Hashem will give it to you. Life here will be good. Upirshu lamasminim ba osher v'kovod v'chein osam asher heim misaskim b'mitzvos al menas l'schos b'hem l'olam abav. And then there are those, what he called, who are not looking for a temporal reward, right? But they're mitzvahs because they want to have a bigger chelik in olam abav. Those are the ones who are oved miyira. They're worshiping Hashem. They're serving Hashem out of yira, right? Because I don't want to be left out. I want to have a good eternal life. They're saved from having to go through the dry cleaning plants of the Rishayim, right? What do you call it? They go through post-Tostiville. And the Nefesh, as it were, is in a good place. Right? Okay. Notice that's a level. Right?
The five levels of
what's
high and what's low.
Okay. V'oskim b'mitzvos me'ava k'dinu k'roi, a person who serves Hashem out of love, right? Im iske olam hazeh, and he still is involved in this world. K'inyan an iske b'torah parshasim b'chukosai, basically b'dayish b'tzir, then life, you'll have what you need here. Yizku b'olam hazeh l'chaim tovim, you'll have a good life here. Maybe not necessarily going to be super wealthy, but you'll have a good life. K'minega olam, like following the norms of the world, l'chai olam abaz chusam shlema. Right? Right, and your merit will be complete there in Olam Haba. Va'ozim kol inyani Olam Hazeh, and those, as it were, who are living right, completely detached from Olam Hazeh, like Elio, etc. Ve'einam mashgichim alav ki'ilu einam balei guf. They're not concerned at all with the physical circumstances. V'chol machshavtem v'kavanasam bebora milvad. They only think about Hashem ki'inin Elio. They're completely attached to Hashem's name. Yichyu la'ad begufam.
Is Eliyahu married?
You don't have to be not married. Yichyu la'ad begufam. They'll live forever, recorded in their guf. And as the guf doesn't disintegrate. Ubenafsham together. Kanir bakosav Eliyahu v'chadiyadu mimenu bekabalu k'mo shabav b'midrashim b'chanuch b'nei ha'olam abba ha'om di mitchias ha'meisim. And just like, ultimately, everybody will be zochet to that. Mitchias ha'meisim.
Mitchias
ha'meisim according to the Ramban is olam abba. Goof together with neshama. So what do you call it? So, in Achrimos, so it turned us upside down in terms of what does it mean to be alive. You might have thought being alive is like the billboard, alive with pleasure. But guess what? If you think that's what life is, and you want to keep Torah mitzvahs, you got two things that don't mix. You got oil and vinegar. They don't mix. Where do you find life? You have to find life within the Torah. Oh, but it doesn't seem like it has time to it. It's the exact opposite of this world. This world, the time is staring you in the face, and that's why you do whatever you do, based upon the time that stares you in the face. But then afterwards you realize you don't have, what do you call it, you don't have anything, you don't have any transformation, you don't have real life, because real life is something that never dies. Real life, like Ber Mayim Chayim, a living spring, it never stops. If a spring were to stop once in 70 years, it's called a Mayan Kozev. It's called a false spring. It's not a real spring. Real spring never, 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 never stops. So when you say you're alive, it's really just temporary. Like Rashi says, how can you say you're alive? Because eventually you die. You're not in the state of Chaim, but it's eternal. And that's the Derech of the Torah. And as the Ramban explains at different levels. Then, okay? So that turned us upside down in terms of what it means, Chaim. I just want to see one more thing here. Right down Kedoshim. Also, a different Mabat, a different outlook on something that's very, very fundamental to the way that we guide our lives. Yes, that's in Kedoshim. It says, Dabrel al kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amartam lehem Kedoshim to you, ki kodosh ani elokeichem. Be kodosh, for I record I am kodosh, says Hashem. Okay? Says it's Fasemis. Tofresh mem gimel. Kedoshim to you, parshas unemra b'hakel. Rashi says that this parsha was taught in Hakel, when the Jewish people would gather at the end, right, of the Shemitah year, at Sukkot's time. So everybody would gather together in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody gathered together in the Beis HaMikdash. And what he called, that's where they read this parsha, Parsha Kedoshim, because there's so many mitzvahs in it. And it's got, like, all fundamental mitzvahs. Shein yochel lizkos like a dusha rak edia bito leklal Yisrael. Says the Sfasemes, you know why this was taught? Parshas Kedoshim, it's called Kedoshim. It was taught in Hakel because a person can never achieve Kedusha unless he feels attached to all the Jewish people. He is mevatel himself to the global Jewish people. Dichsiv kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The unit called the Jewish people, that they're the ones who achieve Kedusha. Perish kishem ba'achdus echad. When we're attached to one another, that doesn't mean you have to want to spend 24/7 with every person, right? Because not everybody's every else's person's cup of tea. But I have to be attached to them, realize their importance, their value, their kochos, and their glitches. What do you call it? No, they got glitches. I also got glitches. Lachain rov dini parsha zu shebein adam lechavero. There's this, most of the dinim over here in Kedoshim, he says, have to do with Ben Adam Lechavero. The Gam Kishim Bnei Yisrael, Heim Echad, Ein Yad HaRashoyim Sholetes Behem. And when we are one, right, we're separate from the Goyim, and others, we are an Am, a unique Am, connected to one another, caring for one another. We are alone, we're separate from the rest of the world, then they don't influence us.
Doggy dog
world. Right? They don't influence us.
Doggy dog world.
They don't influence us. Right, and we become kedoshim. The kedusha doesn't leave us. Continue to the three dots afterwards.
So repeat that what you just said.
Because like, you're too busy with equal.
I was sarcasm.
Right, that's a new word. Sarcasm. Really called so it, the way to kedusha. The reason it's really called said at Hakel. And it's called Parshas Kedoshim, because the only way to achieve Kedusha is to be attached to all the Jewish people. Now, we'll go down to the three dots there in the Sfas Emes. Uv'inyan kehilos u'shayach b'chol prat gamkin le'asof kol ha'ramachi varim. Just like this idea of unifying all the Jewish people is true in each as individuals as well. Because we have to unify all the parts of our guf. Every part of our goof, we have to, as it were, unify in service of Hashem. Ramach Ivan v'chol ratzonus adover echad. Like some people, you know, like, okay, in this area I'll be okay, in that area then I'm not so be okay. Like, you know, in terms of zrizas, not so zoris, but you know, I'll be good over here, I'll good there. You have to try, as it were, to cause all of your goof. The more that a person aspires, attempts, struggles to make every part of his physical existence dedicated, the way I look at things, the way I see, the way I speak, the way I hear. If I'm mafkir the way I look at the world, or what I look at in the world, right? Okay, so fine, my eyes are not so good, but I don't listen to Lashon Hara, right? I look at the wrong things, but I don't listen to Lashon Hara, right? I'm good at what you call doing mitzvahs, but I'm not good at, you know, at doing them eagerly. I don't run to them. You don't have to run. You have to crazy kill yourself. What do you call? I don't know mis reasons. My legs are what do you call? Then one is preventing the kedusha from resting upon oneself. When one is misachay, when all of the unity of a person's being as it were, is connected, is focused on Avodas Hashem, then the experience of Kedusha rests upon him. Just like the experience of Kedusha can only rest upon a person when he feels connection to the rest of the Jewish people. So to a person, he can't, as it were, well, because this part of my psyche I'll leave for the devil, and this, what do you call it, this part I'm going to do over here, this part of my actions where I'll be okay, and this part of the heck with them. The more that a person tries to transform every part of himself, the more the Kedusha rests upon him.
What goes in our mouth, what goes in our minds.
Right, right, gotta try. Right? He says, and that's why Sinas Chinam, which is the finish, the what he calls synopsizing, the what he calls the rest of the science, he says, that's why Sinas Chinam was the reason for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. He says, because the Gemara says, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Gila Rai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah. Right? There were the old three cardinal sins. Second Beis HaMikdash says they were Chasidim. They were Chasidim. They were what he called great people. But then why was it destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. So says Svasem, so why are they called Chasidim? Right? Why are they called Chasidim? They were obviously, the Avera is a very terrible Avera. He says it's not just it's not the idea of the level of the Avera, the Sinas Chinam. It's the idea that what he called the world of Kedusha will only rest on unity. It's not necessarily that the Sinas Chinam is what he called as an Avera per se, right, is worse than Gil Rai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah. How can you call him Chasidim then? The idea is that when there's Sinas Chinam, the vehicle for holding Kedusha is no longer there. So once the, what he called the vehicle for holding Kedusha is no longer there, so then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because that was the place of their, right, what do you call it? Right? Shesham alu shvatim, shifte ka, right? The, what do you call it? Yirsha chumra layachtav. Yerushalayim is the place of unity. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of unity. If there's no unity, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist. It disappears. And we get cast into Golis.
So why were they called Chasidim?
Because he was pointing out, it's pointing out that it's not the severity of the Avera per se that was worse than Gil Rai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah. Is that once there's no unity, once there's Sinas Chinam, there's no vehicle for Kedusha anymore.
So why are they called Chasidim?
Again, because it's not there's certain things, it's like let's say a car. Let's say you got a car, right? So if you got a car, what do you call it? Let's say, you know, the windshield is busted out. Looks terrible, right? Let's say the tires are slashed, but they'll still go. Let's say what you call the ten fenders are bumped in, all the pavement scraped off, what do you call it? It's terrible, right? Then you can have a car that looks really nice. It's really nice. Everything's perfect. Everything looks great. The problem is you don't have a key, right? You don't have a key. So if you'd ask somebody from the outside looking at it, you'd say, looks great. It's great. You don't have a key, it doesn't go. The concept of Sinas Chinam, he says, is we want to point out, right? We want to point out that everything can look great. You could do great, wonderful Maisim, people going the extra mile in their Torah, the Voda, the Rikod, etc. Even the Ben Adam L'Chavero could be good. But they don't value the other person. I'll do my Ben El Vechiro. And him? His Ben El Vechiro? The hell with him. Who is he? He thinks he's so great. He thinks he's so big. Record. He probably doesn't have the right deus. He probably doesn't have the right way of looking at the world. He's probably not this. Everybody's doing their own thing. They're all separate.
Why do they call him Chasidim?
Because in their individual actions, they were good. The problem is because they didn't value, what do you call it? Because they didn't value one another, so they don't have a key. So they could be Chasidim in their personal actions, but since they missed the point that Kedusha only rests on the Jewish people as a whole, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then, finally, right? Finally, the last stop sentence there. V'haftu l'recha kamocha. That's also in Parshas Kedoshim. So this is Fasemis. B'toras konim, v'haftu l'recha kamocha. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol b'torah. Rabbi Akiva says, v'haftu l'recha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'torah. Okay? Ben Azi Omer, ze sefer told us Adam, klal gadol mimeno. Ze sefer told us Adam. This is the book of the generations of man. He says that's a bigger klal.
Book of the generations of man.
It's talking about the creation of Baruch Hu Man. Zeh Sefer, the Parshas Bereishis. And it's talking about what you call it's talking about from Adam to what he called to Shase, what he called talking about in Parshas Bereishis. Talks about how man, as it were, what he called from Adam down to the next generation, next generation, next generation, next generation, next generation. So the Banazai says that's a bigger klal. That's a bigger klal. So let's see. Kinei ikar kiyum Torah mitzvos the klal Yisrael shaydeya klal zochim el kedusha. Right, as we saw in the first Asemis. That's why you have to do mitzvahs. You have to do them, right? I'm doing it together with all the Jewish people. I'm doing it as part of the Jewish people. I want to benefit the klal. I'm just not trying to benefit myself. I'm trying to benefit the klal because it's through the klal that Hashem's presence is going to be revealed in the world. Not everybody, because we can't all do everything. Not just because. This guy's a Kohen, this guy's a Levi, this guy's Israel. Not just for that. It's because we call each one of us, right? I'm not you. I don't have your glitches. You don't have my glitches. So therefore, what you cause to reveal in the world when you do Hashem's will in spite of your glitches, I can't do it. I don't have your glitches. And you can't do it like I do it because you don't have my glitches. And David can't do it because he would call what I do and I can't do what David does because I don't have his glitches. He doesn't have my glitches. So we need all of us to bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem, because once all the souls and all the different experiences, and as they reverberate through the different persona of the Jewish people, that's where the Kvod Shemayim comes out. So when I do a mitzvah, I'm doing B'Shem Kol Yisrael, I'm doing my chelik as part of Klal Yisrael, because some other Jew is going to do this mitzvah, and it's going to be a whole different effect. Because he's got his Yitzrei Hara, and he's got his strengths, and he's got his learning, and he's got his background, and his nature, and his nurture. So we're going to do it all together. V'aklal ha-koton, v'omer zeh klal godol. When Rabbi Akiva says, the haftorech ha-gmo zeh klal godol b'torah, so that implies that there's a small klal. He says that's the klal godol. There must be a klal koton also. Klal koton. If there's a klal godol, there must be klal koton. The klal koton, says the Sfas Emes, is really called all the different parts of your body, like we talked about before. In other words, to want to sanctify my entire body, right? So that's what he called, that is the small general principle. The big general principle is, right, to do with all the other Jews. And Benazai says, there's a klal gadol, even bigger klal than that, and that is reaching back into the history of the Jewish people, right? That we're connected to all the Jews who have lived from the time for all of man, right from the very beginning. So we're part of.
We're living off still Mitzrayim.
Right, but what we call it, what a person's worldview has got to be, I want to sanctify my entire being, right? That's the klal koton. I want to sanctify, what do you call it, the Jewish people. I want to do my part of the Jewish people. And like Benazai says, I want to sanctify the Jews all throughout history. We're all connected to one another. We're all links in this golden chain. From the beginning of the tough time to the end of time. And that's what Benazai says is the klal gadol hamenu. That's the biggest klal. So, basically the two lessons that we learn from Achrimos and from Kedoshim, which I think are a different way of looking at life, is what does it mean to be alive? That was what we saw in Achrimos. And the second thing is, what does it mean, right? What does it mean to understand my individuality? My individuality, right? To do, it's not just, it doesn't just mean me, myself, and I. I'm an island. No man is an island. But rather, we call to realize that I have to take part of the klal koton, I have to sanctify, to strive to sanctify every part of myself. I shouldn't be masking one part of myself, etc., and saying, "Okay, that's not my thing. Right? I'm not Shomer Ma'inayim. I'm not Shomer Ma'peh. Right? I speak Lashon Hara, but I'm a good guy. I give tzedakah. Right? I look at whatever I look at, but I'm involved in whatever it is. I learn Torah and I do Kiruv, whatever. Just whatever. Hypothetically, sanctify all the parts of yourself to realize that we're all part of the klal of the Jewish people. Right? And we have to." We have to see ourselves as all contributing to that juggernaut of the Jewish people, yeah, sanctifying every experience within this world through their everybody's different situations, and then finally to see ourselves, as Ben Azai says, attached to the golden link of Jewish history, right from the beginning until Bialystok said, Rabbi Aminu, Amen.
Amen.